it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We bring in our good friend Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. Josh, what's going on, my man?
Hey, good morning, guys.
So, Josh, we got another week without sports. It's come and gone. I was telling the guys earlier, like, there was so much joy and pride I took yesterday in, like, cutting my grass. I think we're all kind of realizing some things that we took for granted through all this, and we're all missing sports pretty badly at this point, I think.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think watching old sports, watching the Rose Bowl last night with USC and Texas, and it really anything that comes up, I think – reminds us of what we wish would be going on right now, like the Final Four coming up this weekend would be a whole lot of fun. I think we'd be looking forward to the Masters coming up, and there's going to be some old Masters rounds that are going to air, but it's still not quite the same. I think the ratings that we've seen, the amount of viewers for the iRacing that NASCAR has done shows that people, you know, they will gravitate to anything that can be out there, and NASCAR has, I think, done a good job in getting that together. They put it together pretty quickly, and people have responded. Now you have Bristol coming up, so whatever we can find, we'll take it right now. But I'm expecting at least there will be a greater appreciation for sports and everything else when everything else does get back to normal, whenever that is.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that, Josh. Recent ruling this week on the fact that spring athletes can all get another year of eligibility. Nothing for winter athletes. No big surprise there. But the spring athletes ruling, what's your reaction to that, and how do you think that affects Tennessee in particular?
The ruling was about what I expected, with winter sport athletes not getting the extra eligibility, spring sport athletes getting it, and then it being left up to the schools. And I thought ahead of time that it would be left up to the schools with the financial flexibility, because all the schools are in different positions. Trying to compare an SEC school or a Big Ten school to a school at a lower level within Division I, Wyoming's athletic director announces a pay cut that he's taking. Obviously, the financial situation for a school like Wyoming or Middle Tennessee compared to the University of Tennessee is going to be different. How it affects UT, I don't know, because I'm not sure that they know entirely. I think, one, they have to find out who exactly plans to come back versus moving on. So that is unknown right now. And the schools also don't know exactly what kind of financial situation they're going to be in over the next year or two, because right now they don't know exactly what the status is with football. And don't know answers aren't great, but there are a lot of them right now. And I think not committing to something that you don't know for sure you'll be able to back up is probably the right move right now, because I don't know that it's entirely necessary, but I think it's the right step to at least allow for the eligibility, and then you take the wait-and-see approach as you wait and see what kind of financial situation you're in. And I'll also be curious, do we see more administrators, athletic directors, coaches, do we see more pay cuts there, voluntary or involuntary, to help mitigate the financial hit that they're going to take? I would expect more of that is coming.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville on the line with us. Josh, what have we learned about Jeremy Pruitt and his staff in terms of recruiting as we head into his third year now?
Well, recruiting for 2021 is still wait and see. There I go throwing that term out again. But it is, in this case, as they landed two commitments this week. I think Tennessee was really excited to get Walker Merrill, the wide receiver from Brentwood, and then a running back who's a really good athlete, incredible speed, and Jalen Wright. He's out of Durham, North Carolina. And Tennessee, I think, big picture, long-term, expects to recruit at a higher level than it has so far with Jeremy Pruitt. And this past year's class was a good class, the one that was just signed a few months ago. And Tennessee did a really good job to finish strong, especially considering how the 2019 season started. But if you look at some of the coaching moves, whether it was coaches that left Tennessee on their own or in some case, I think there was a middle part of maybe somebody wanting to move on and Tennessee being okay with that, I think some of the hires that were made were to take Tennessee's recruiting to an even higher level. And I'll still come back and say Tennessee needs to win at a higher level. You have the chicken or the egg argument that continues to kind of float out there in Tennessee football recruiting. But if Tennessee's able to compete at a higher level, I think Tennessee has a staff that should be able to recruit at a high enough level to be even more competitive. Now, to reach where Georgia is, where Alabama is, that's very much to be determined. But I think even internally, Jeremy Pruitt has said, we need to recruit at a better level. We need to get more high-level players, and that's what his focus is on with this class and the future for Tennessee.
And it just strikes me, Josh, that if there's anyone who's going to, you know, spend every waking hour and figure out every way to, you know, to do whatever you can do at this, you know, odd time in human history, it's going to be Jeremy Pruitt. Although, speaking of that, you know, Nick Saban, his guys are what they're using Apple Watches. Yeah, I mean, which I wasn't totally clear on this. Apparently, they got a waiver or a clearance on that. But I guess this is just the latest example of if there's anyone who's going to find the loophole first, it's going to be Nick Saban.
Yeah, that's actually – it's been pretty confusing, hasn't it, over the last 18 to 24 hours just with the reports and the quotes. And you know, part of that, I wonder, is just with everything that's going on, maybe that it hasn't been communicated very well, which would not surprise me, and I don't know that that's anyone's fault. But it's left more confusion. There are going to be other confusing matters here. But for sure, Alabama and I would think Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee and other coaches at other schools, they're going to do everything they can to try to communicate most effectively and have players prepared as best they can. But my takeaway yesterday afternoon was that there's probably been some holdup in the communication, and we don't know everything that they're allowed to do, and maybe some of the coaches don't know exactly all that they're allowed to do. I mean, remember what's it been 3 weeks now, I guess, but with the NCAA tournament and the spring sport cancellation from the NCAA level, remember you had the commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, saying, I'd like to know more about what went into the decision to cancel those spring sport championships. So if there was some break in the communication lines there, I don't think we should be surprised to see it happen elsewhere. So you know, by this afternoon, I'm guessing that what I'm saying here will have been cleared up some way. But in the meantime, it leads to, well, that's Alabama. They get to play by different rules, and you know what the talk's going to be there.
Yep, exactly.
Josh, yesterday on Instagram, I think it was, Josh Dobbs put out this memory of him playing football at Tennessee, and it got me thinking about, like, what do you think Josh Dobbs' legacy is at the University of Tennessee? I think a lot of Tennessee fans were guilty of maybe taking what he did for granted, especially, you know, realizing what happened after and kind of the quarterback struggles they went through at a time last year. What do you think the legacy is for Josh Dobbs at Tennessee?
I think Josh Dobbs is one of those Tennessee football players who will be more appreciated as time goes on beyond his time at Tennessee. There was a lot of time while Josh was playing quarterback at Tennessee where fans complained and didn't think he was a good enough passer. And he wasn't perfect by any means, but he was a playmaker for Tennessee. And Tennessee's offense was really successful with him at quarterback. And he was a guy that represented Tennessee really well and just did everything that you would ask of a student athlete and you hope for a player to be. He was that off the field for sure, and on the field he was a really good player. And you're right, the quarterback play right after that was nowhere near the level of where it was overall in 2016 and the year before that as well with Dobbs there. But I think Josh is kind of in that Casey Clawson category of, you know, while Casey was at Tennessee, at first fans loved him, and that 2001 season they get to the SEC title game, fell short against LSU, but went into 2002 with high expectations, fell short there, and then people started to talk about what was next. And then with Eric Ainge, people started to talk about what was next with Jonathan Crompton, and that got off to a bad start, and Crompton finished okay. But I think it's been very easy for, if things don't reach the highest level of expectation, for fans to say, okay, well, then let's see what the next guy can do. And that happens all over the place, not just at Tennessee, but it for sure happens at quarterback, and I think it's happened with Josh Dobbs. And I think as more time passes, people will look back at what he was able to do and the offense success and the numbers they were able to put up on that side of the ball and think even more fondly of Josh Dobbs. And some will think back and say, you know what, at the time I should have thought that as well.
Yeah, and it's also easy, I think, to look back and say, man, imagine Butch Jones's tenure without Josh Dobbs, right? I mean, to me, you know, you look back at everything, and I think he maybe glossed over some of the things that were going that we eventually saw with the program. Speaking of which, what do you think about Butch Jones? What is Butch Jones's future in coaching, Josh?
I have no idea. I thought that he was going to have a good chance at that Colorado State job. At least appeared that that was going to be the case, and then he ended up not getting the job. And I don't know what Butch is going to do in the future. Is he a head coach at his next stop? Can he find a school that will take him on? I don't think that's at a Power 5 level. Would not be my guess. I would think that it's, you know, more a level like where he's coached before, Central Michigan, Colorado State, maybe something like that. Or does he need to go be a full-time assistant and still continue to try to kind of is rehabilitate his image as a coach? Maybe that's the right description, maybe not. But at some point, I still think he bounces back because, you know, I don't know exactly what he would be able to do. I think he could actually be a fine hire if he has learned from the mistakes that he made at Tennessee, if he will have taken advantage of having worked with Nick Saban for a few years. I think there are some really good things that can come out of that. And again, he has to do things differently than he did at Tennessee. I also think being at Tennessee was probably too much over the long haul for Butch Jones, which is probably a pretty obvious statement. But I mean, in terms of the those expectations, the pressure, the 24/7 coverage that can be there, as things got bumpier along the way, I don't think Butch handled that. Maybe he will have learned some lessons from that, because before Tennessee, he had legitimate success, and I think he still could in the future. Doesn't mean the jokes from Tennessee fans aren't going to stop, but if he wants to be a head coach again, I would think that he still has plenty of time to be able to do that.
Josh, last thing for you real quick. You mentioned the USC and Texas game being on last night. A lot of people had a lot of fun watching that game over again. You know, Alabama and Georgia was a good one. Alabama and Clemson have had a few good national championship games as well. Is USC and Texas unquestionably the best national championship game you've ever seen?
I would not say unquestionably, but it's right up there with what you had in terms of star power, with everything USC had done to that point, with Vince Young bringing Texas back and the play that he makes there at the end, and just everything he did for that offense. I still think about Deshaun Watson, what he was able to do to beat Alabama. It's similar to me in that USC was the unstoppable, powerful force there, and Alabama was largely viewed that way as well and had won more championships than USC. So what Deshaun Watson did just a few years ago for Clemson, I think there are a number of great quarterback performances we can think of. But in terms of a national championship game, star power, the name brands, I mean, it's USC versus Texas, and it's Vince Young versus Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush and all the other great players that were on those teams. I would say it's right up there. It's not going to take a back seat to anybody. And the drama that came with it, we always look forward to that. And right now I think we're looking at where we are now in sports and where we were at the time. And that game is as perfect as any, I would say, to bring that up.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Josh, thanks as always for joining us. Hope you have a great weekend.
Hey, you got it. You too. Thanks, guys.
When we come back, what college do we think has produced the most NBA players, or not the most, the best NBA players? It's easy to figure out who's produced the most. Which college do we think has produced the best NBA players? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.